You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning, from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm. And today, I just want to apologize again for this mailbag podcast coming on a Thursday. Just had some technical difficulties, got a little sick, and had to push it back because I just, couldn't really talk. So thank you again for being patient with me on that. If you missed it yesterday, we collaborated with Josh Lloyd of Red Rock, who's on Twitter at Red Rock B-Ball, and the host of the Locked On Fantasy podcast. You talk about the Cavs and preview them in terms of fantasy, and also just give a general season outlook. We talked about some recent Cavs news on there too, so I think it's a pretty good show. But today, as I noted, we're going to do a mailbag show. We only got a couple questions, but also run through some news. There's a couple things kind of going on right now that I think are worth looking at, but it's still kind of just waiting for things to develop, waiting for a couple shoes to drop, and we'll see. Our question this week comes from Tyrick Barrett, who says, "To whom it may concern, thanks for the insightful and timely podcast. You're welcome. My question relates to the Cavs' PG situation. I'm curious why Quinn Cook hasn't been mentioned or considered as a possible remedy. He was a proven floor general, shooter, defender, and leader at Duke, where he led Coach K's youngest team to the national championship. He was D-League Rookie of the Year and first-team All-D-League, while leading his team to the D-League Finals with leadership and clutch shooting, and he's proved he can perform against NBA-caliber competition. He fits a profile of backup PG and can be available for the NBA minimum, a critical consideration given the Cavs' cap situation. Plus, he played for the Cavs D League affiliate, so the team is already familiar with him. What gives? Thanks, and keep up the good work." All right. So I think what he's laying out there is actually the argument for Quinn Cook. And it's, it's a very sound argument. But it also, I think, will sort of answer his question. Quinn Cook, I'm a big fan. I watched him play in Canada a couple times last year. I watched him at Duke. And I think he's an NBA point guard. I think he doesn't necessarily benefit from playing at a position where there are always a lot of opportunities because there are just a lot of good point guards in this NBA. But I think Quinn Cook's an NBA player. I think he makes good decisions. He's athletic. He's still got room to grow and become a better, more complete guard. And he's just improving overall. He was my favorite player on that Charge team last year. They had some other guys. I like Nick Minerath. I like some of the other guys. But he, to me, was the most ready prospect. And the cost thing is big, too. Having a guy on a minimum deal, if you're the Cavs, would be pretty ideal. Would be pretty significant considering that they, again, don't have a lot of money and are going to be taxed or whatever. And if you get him cheap, it matters. And plus, signing Quinn Cook wouldn't require paying money like they did to get pick Kay Felder. But I haven't confirmed this with anybody yet, and it's just a theory, and I've kind of been reporting on it a little bit, but and trying to kind of figure this out, because I'm interested in Quinn Cook as well. He is, as he noted, under the Cavs' view on their D-League affiliate. He's played for their Summer League team last year, wasn't on the roster this year. If they didn't think that he was a guy that could play and was their option, and they didn't sign him, if they didn't see what they liked already, I think that sort of answers the question here. Quinn Cook could end up somewhere else. He might go overseas. I haven't heard him linked to any other team, and I think he probably will have to go overseas or just take a training camp invite. But if the Cavs felt good about him, I think they would have signed him already. I think it's telling that they've had him under their view for over a year, that they sort of went and paid to pick Kay Felder, that they went out of their way to pay extra money to pick a guy and then sign him to what would be a more expensive contract than what Quinn Cook would have gotten. I don't know exactly why yet. I don't know why they like Felder. I don't know. I mean, I guess I do know why they like Felder, but I don't know why what about Felder they favor over Cook. I certainly could get the argument that Cook is bigger. Then he is a maybe better prospect, but Felder is more athletic and might have more upside. Maybe that's the reason they go with him. But that's a good question with Quinn Cook. It's something I think is worth asking about. It's something worth sort of diving into a little bit. But I had the same feelings about Quinn Cook. I think he would have been a really good remedy. He was a guy a couple months ago I thought if Matthew Dellavedova doesn't end up leaving, he would be a good replacement. And obviously, you know, that's probably not going to happen at this point. I think if they sign another point guard, if Mo Williams retires, it's not going to be Quinn Cook. It'll probably be someone that's a veteran. They may not sign anybody at all. They don't necessarily have to. So we'll have to see. It's not an end-all, be-all situation here with the point guard situation. It's sort of complicated still, but Quinn Cook would have been a good option. But I think there's something there that we don't know over the past year of him being under the Cavs' watch, that if they didn't see something from him already, they would have nabbed him. They would have made a move to keep him, and they didn't. And I think that's just kind of telling, and I think that's probably the answer. There's more to it than just what I'm saying, but we don't know yet, and it's something we'll have to hopefully comes out, and hopefully I can talk to somebody about this once the season gets closer and people come available and whatnot. So as always, you can submit questions on Twitter too, at LockedOnCavs, or to me, at CWMWrites. We may start using a hashtag in the future, but pay attention to our Twitter in case we do that. It'll help me sort through some of the mentions. Or you can email them to lockedoncavs@gmail.com, as Tarek did. And thanks again for him submitting that question. And we'll have to, you know, hopefully some changes come up in the next couple weeks where it makes it a little more interesting. I know it's hard to ask questions right now. We may not have a mailbag podcast next week just because we're going to do some team previews and then position previews. So you might have about 2-3 weeks to get in more questions. But I will obviously let you guys know probably on Friday's show what the definite plan is. To break down a couple of recent news things, the Cavs obviously recently added forward Corey Jefferson. Corey Jefferson is a power forward. He played on their summer league team, and he was okay. He's on a training camp invite, but the thing is that I don't think he actually has a chance to make the team. I don't think he has a real chance of making the roster. They don't really need a guy at his position. I think he's there to push guys in camp. I think he's there to potentially be someone they have in Canton. And I think if he does really, really well, maybe he's on the 15-man roster. But I think he'd have to be great, or someone have to get hurt for them to keep him around. I would just say that he is what he is. So he'll be around. You'll see him in preseason games because they're going to rest guys, but we'll see. The other guy that Kev signed is guard Markel Brown, who played with the Nets for 2 years. Brown, it's reported by Chams Chirina of The Vertical, played is 24. He had some decent per 36 numbers for the Nets last year. He's a very good dunker. He was the 2013 Dunker of the Year when he was at Oklahoma State. He's originally picked by the Wolves in the second round of the 2014 NBA draft. Hasn't really stuck in the NBA other than the time when the Nets has played in the D League and stuff. He's a combo guard who's not really that much of a point guard, in my opinion. He's only 6'3", but he has a 6-inch wingspan. And if you're talking about guys on the cat that are going to come in training camp and potentially have a chance to make the roster, I would say Brown is the more likely guy of the bunch here. He is a guy, he sort of fits the mold that how I think the Cavs are going to try to nab younger guys moving forward. He's younger, as I noted. He's long. He's athletic. And if the Cavs believe that they can develop these guys like Jordan McRae, like Kay Felder, like Markel Brown, theoretically, into something more than what they are. The Cavs believe that they can turn those guys into something a little bit bigger, into something a little bit useful down the road where they don't need to be good right now, but if J.R. Smith, and we'll get to him in a second, you know, isn't on the team in 3 years, they have a replacement. If Iman Shumpert becomes a problem, they can sub in one of these guys and fill in the role, or if he gets hurt, they can maybe use one of these guys for 15 games this year. That is what they're doing. I don't know if Brown's going to be on the roster from day one. I think a lot of it will depend on how he does in training camp, if he is ultimately on the team. But it's possible. He's certainly athletic, certainly has upside, certainly is long, but he's not that great of a shooter. Shot under 40% last year with the Brooklyn Nets, and he's not exactly a guy who overwhelms you when you don't feel great about, but he's cheap, he's younger still, and that's the kind of guy the Cavs are going to have to kind of target if they're going to try to find younger guys to develop, because they don't have a ton of draft picks, and this year had to go pay to get a guy like Kay Felder, so expect maybe more signings like this ahead of training camp. It makes sense. It's a smart strategy for a team. It's really the only strategy for a team like this. like the Cavs that's trying to figure things out. So look for Brown to, in my opinion, have a better chance than Jefferson to make the team. He just fills more of a need, not only on the roster, but in the NBA in terms of teams needing wings. So pay attention to that a little bit more than you would Corey Jefferson. And watch some of his dunks on YouTube. They're pretty fun. He can really, really get up there. And that's definitely his best skill, which is both cool and kind of a problem. Lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about J.R. Smith, who I know is frustrating for Cavs fans. At least our readers over at Fear the Sword are getting frustrated by him not signing. You look at J.R. Smith, and he and the Cavs are not really on the same page. Now, we haven't really heard anything definitive about what the contract offer is, about what he's looking for, what the Cavs are offering, but ESPN's Brian Windhorst offered up this quote that I'm going to read on Tim Bontemps' podcast, which Tim Bontemps is the national NBA writer for the Washington Post, very smart guy, and Windhorst had this to say, and Windhorst, by the way, probably knows the Cavs better than anybody. He's just a very good reporter, by all accounts, a very good guy. This is what he said. I feel like he will sign before the regular season, he being J.R. Smith, and I'm not sure about training camp. His agents don't have a problem holding people out. The Cavs want him back. He wants to go back to the Cavs. There's nobody bidding for him, and therefore, the Cavs don't feel like they have to increase whatever offer they've made, and J.R. has sat and watched a whole bunch of guys who he thinks he's equal or better than get paid huge money this year. I don't know if the holdup is total years. I don't know if the holdup is total compensation. So basically, what we're looking at with J.R. Smith is a situation where it's just a waiting game. Windhorst also noted that he doesn't know if Smith is going to be in by training camp, if he's going to be in by the regular season. He predicted, and you know what you think about him on the True Hoop Pods, he does not like making predictions that Smith would be in. He does not make a prediction that Smith would be in before the regular season, but not in for training camp. And that is significant in its own right because you don't necessarily need Smith there by training camp, but you'd like to have him there just to make sure he's in shape and that he's with the team from day one as they look to repeat and take on the best Warriors team that they've seen over the past couple of years. So I don't know when this is exactly going to get done. I don't have direct information on this. But I think if you're a Cavs fan out there, I would be a little bit frustrated. I would be a little bit concerned that this isn't done yet, and it's just sort of weird that this isn't quite done yet. You, as Windhorst is really alluding to, and this is something I have said on several podcasts already, there literally is not really a team out there that I think would really go out and pay JR at this point. If some team was going to overpay for JR, I firmly think it would have happened already. Some team, whether it was, you know, the Grizzlies or something like that, as I mentioned on the show, someone would have already paid JR and overpaid for him. And a team like the Nuggets or the Sixers that have to get to the salary floor and still need to spend money are not really in the market for a guy like JR. He is going to be in Cleveland next year. I know it's frustrating for you fans out there, but he's going to be back. He is going to resign. We just need to know exactly what it's for and for how long and yada, yada, yada. All those details matter. And we'll have to see, so I'm not exactly sure yet. My still prediction is still 3 around 35. If you go back a couple weeks when we talked to Jacob Rosen about this, 3 for 45, rather, is pretty reasonable for him, especially if the last year is a team option or non-guaranteed or something along those lines, so the Cavs are a little bit more protected 2 years down the road. But it is what it is. It's just a waiting game. And there's still 3 weeks before training camp about, so it's possible that it does get done. And, you know, it could get done today. It could get done while you're listening to this podcast. So we'll have to see. It's just one of those things that it's just so little out there that has been reported that it just kind of makes it hard to actually gauge unless, you know, someone out there has actually talked to JR. And I'm sure LeBron has a good idea. I mean, they're working out together, so yeah. And by the way, if JR is not signed, it doesn't look like he will be at the LeBron's little training camp before the actual Cavs training camp starts and when it's out in LA. And Chris Haynes, who recently covered the Cavs for Cleveland.com, now covers the Warriors for ESPN, did report that not too long ago in a video he posted on his Facebook page. There's also some information there on the Cavs' assistant coach situation, which is super bizarre. I'd recommend checking it out. We also wrote it up at Fear the Sword. And it's just a very weird thing that most of Ty Lue's assistants don't have contracts yet. Phil Handy, who is a big Kyrie Irving guy, and all these different guys have not really been re-upped by the team yet, and it's super weird. So that's it for today's show. Thanks again to everyone who's listening. Again, I apologize for the delay. We'll be back tomorrow with a Central Division preview. Going to run through all four teams, aside from the Cavs, in the Central Division, and just kind of preview them to jumpstart our team previews next week. Our team previews will be Eastern Conference only, but I think it'll be great. We're going to partner with other Locked On shows to do so, and I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to talking to the other really smart guys in this Locked On podcast network. As again, I'm Chris Manning. You can find me on Twitter at CDumanWrites. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever, Audio Boom. Make sure to leave a review and like the show on iTunes if you're a fan. And thanks to all our listeners out there. Looking forward to getting to Astro Basketball so we can give you even more daily Cavs content. Get back to 5 days a week. Looking forward to that for sure. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.